Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Medic's Mind, the podcast. Thank you for coming by. I really appreciate it. I wanted to jump on here today because I realized that the past few podcasts unwittingly have been kind of dark and maybe less than, you know, appeasing to the ear. And I don't want to inundate this podcast with those stories. For sure, I want to talk about those things because they are aspects of my medic's mind. And so I think it's important to be able to have an outlet to talk about that. And to be honest with you, sometimes talking to you guys really helps. I know that it's delayed. I know this isn't live. I know you're not reciprocating immediately in typical confabulation. But it still seems to help. And so I do that, and I, you know, I, in doing that, I also like to try and keep things somewhat even with relation to heaviness versus non-heaviness, because my life isn't all doom and gloom. It's not all bad. Some aspects of my life are great. As soon as I find out what they are, I'll fucking let you know. No, I came on tonight because I want to tell you guys about New York City. I'm going to tell you guys about my first trip to New York City. It was back, I believe, 2012. I'm going to say 2012. I think that sounds about right. And, or no, maybe it was 2011. It might have been 2011. It was in between 2011 and 2012. Let's go with that. And despite the fact that I can't remember the dates, I have a pretty good memory of the trip itself. So, oh man, Alzheimer's is tough, folks. Early onset. So I went on this trip with my best friend Drew. Now, Drew is a buddy I went to high school with, and I went to grade school, middle school, and high school with this guy. He is through and through. My best friend. I've been through so much with this guy. We dated best friends together. He actually married his high school sweetheart, whereas I was dating his wife's best friend at the time during high school. And she has gone on to marry Drew's brother, years after high school. And so, you know, we're all pretty connected. We're all pretty close. But Drew is my all-time best friend. He is one of the best human beings that I have had the privilege and honor to meet on this earth. And he's also the guy that I go to when things are shit, when things are bad. He lives out in BC, and I live obviously out here on the East End in Toronto. And so we don't get to see each other nearly enough. But when we do get to see each other, it's a great time. And back around the time where I decided that I wanted to go to New York, I was going through some issues with my relationship. I was still in my relationship at the time. I owned a house and, we were together, and, I had decided that I want to go on this trip. I had found out that she was being less than faithful to me, my spouse at the time. And I'd had enough. I felt like that's it. I'm done. I'm at, like, this relationship's over. I'm done with this. And so, I booked some time off work, and, much to the dismay of my spouse. So the reason I say spouse instead of saying her name, I don't want to give her a lot of airtime. So that's kind of why my telling of the story, I'm very selective with the words that I use. I could call her Nosferatu, but that's a lot to remember. So let's just go with spouse, right? So anyway, we were going through this again, and I booked this trip, and she was very angry. She's like, you know, we could go on a trip together and try to work on things. And I said, yeah, but here's the thing though. No, because I'd been down that road before. I'd done all the work on us, things that I could handle at that particular point in my life. And so I was on the computer booking my trip, And she had came home when I was booking it. And she's like, oh, you're really doing it, huh? And I was like, yep, I'm really booking the trip to New York. It's happening. And she's like, I can't believe how selfish you are. And I was like, well, I know how you would think that way. And here's the thing, though. I'm not the one with other penises inside of me. So there's that. So anyway, I booked this trip. And my buddy Drew had come up to Edmonton for an Oilers game. And so I told him that he could stay with us. And I told him at the time, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to New York just to get away. New York has always been on my bucket list of places I want to go to. I love big, old, sprawling, urban, dense cities. I don't know why, considering my disdain for people. It's very ironic, the juxtaposition between wanting peace and calm and serenity and then throwing myself into mass metropolis, densely populated cities. But I do. So, you know, there's that. I never said I was a smart guy. And so I told Drew about that, and Drew's like, really? You're going to New York? I was like, yeah. He said, dude, that'd be awesome. I was like, well, do you have time off? Do you want to come with me? That'd be awesome, dude. And he's like, yeah, let me run it by Rachel. That was his wife's name. And so he did. And he phoned me up like about a week later. He's like, yeah, I'm in. We're going to New York. When's your flight? And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I booked him for this date, these dates. And so he did the same. And it was awesome. It was so great. And the countdown was on. You know, I was getting ready to go to New York. I was still fighting with Nosferatu during this time because she was like, I'm coming with you. And I'm like, yeah, except you're not, though, at all. Like, if you come with me, I'm going to treat it like Home Alone 2 when Kevin was in New York, and I'm going to throw a fucking brick at your head. So don't come with me. I was only like 60% kidding. So I got on this plane the day of, and Drew was already in New York. So he was waiting for me. He had gotten there early because Drew is a meticulous planner when it comes to trips. And I don't mean that in the annoying sense. If you get a chance to travel with Drew, do it. It's amazing. The guy is so well organized. And he's also a celebrity magnet, by the way, which I'll get to a little bit later on, too. But every trip he ever goes on, something amazing happens. Or he meets somebody incredible, like some sort of celebrity in the most random places. And so, if you get a chance, do it. Drew, I'm throwing you out there, man. If you get a random person saying they want to travel with you, fucking, you're welcome. So Drew was already in New York. I fly to New York, and I'm at the airport, and I take a cab from JFK into Manhattan. And what a fucking city. It is magical. I love that city. You know, I see all these iconic buildings that I saw on TV growing up. You know, on all these iconic places, the outdoor basketball courts, the big skyscrapers, and then the bridges, man. When you're coming across the bridge and you see like the Brooklyn Bridge and all these other bridges connecting the other boroughs. Oh man, blown away by this city. And getting into Manhattan, where the buildings just rise up triumphantly into the sky, blocking out the sunlight. It is amazing. I've never seen or been to a city like it in my life. And I could live there in a heartbeat. I love this city or that city. And fast forward. It's one reason why I wanted to move to Toronto, because it is big and old, much like New York. It's a very different version, but I love big cities. So I'm here in Toronto. So I get to the hotel. Drew is there. I meet up with Drew. What a great time. You know, we went, first thing we did was we found a place to have a drink at a pub, one of the local New York pubs. And I was really hoping that like the first guy I talked to would have that thick kind of New York, you know, Italian kind of accent, I guess, you know. So I walk into the pub and I'm like, yeah, hey, can I, I'll grab a Guinness. And then the guy goes, sir, what can I get for you? And he turns to Drew. I was like, oh, you sound just like us. That's not, damn it. So that was my introduction to New York. The cab driver also sounded much like us. So I was like, man, like, does the accent not exist? Is not a real thing? So I was a little disappointed. But that was a very fleeting disappointment, because we walked around the city and it is so alive with everything. And like, the stuff you see in movies actually happens there. There are people up on high rise buildings that are leaning out their windows and they're banging like dirt off their rugs. You know what I mean? Like that old, like the old lady slamming a rug against the side of the building. They do that there. It's incredible. And so I had a wicked time. We spent the day just walking around, trying different things, going to different pubs. We basically pubbed hop for the first day. You know, I had some food here, got some street meat here. There was like a vendor that was doing like bagels and schmearing, and I was like, oh, excellent. Then we saw like actual Orthodox Jews walking around, like in the full garb and regalia. And I was like, holy shit, there's so many of them here. Like, and I'm not saying that as a judgment. Like, I was taking it all in. You know, there was such a unique mix of people that I fell in love instantly. I actually started to forget about my problems back home with a very unfaithful girlfriend. I started to have a good time. I started to have fun. I was with my best friend. It was a great, you know, it was like being back in high school again. This was the first time that we'd actually gotten together for any length of time after high school. And we were now well into our late 20s, you know, and he was a father at that point. He was married. You know, I owned a home. He had a house as well. Like we were adults, but it felt like we were back in high school. And that, too, was pretty magical. And so one of the big things on our list to do when in New York was to, there was a pub, I can't remember the name of it now. If I get it by the time I put the description of the show up, I'll write it in the description of the show. But one of our favorite shows of all time, and still is one of my favorite shows, How I Met Your Mother. Yeah, I watched that show religiously. I found out Drew watched it religiously too. And, you know, we found out via text that we both loved that show. And I was like, holy shit, dude, that's incredible. And so I always told him that I thought he was like the character Marshall, you know, and I felt like Ted, the sort of, you know, kind of hopeless, you know, I won't say romantic because he's the hopeless romantic. I'm just kind of hopeless and, you know, kind of looking for love. Right. And so I was like, I kind of feel like, and he's like, yeah, you are Ted. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So this trip was already off to a great start. We're having a great time. And one of the big goals of our trip, we wanted to find, there was, after doing some meticulous research online, we found there's a few pubs around New York that the creators, Carter Bays and Craig Thomas, there's a few different pubs that they based the pub in the show off of. So it's not based off of any one specific pub, but there's aspects of these five different pubs or three different pubs that they based it off of. But the one main pub that has a big mural on the back wall in the show, there's a bar that actually has that painting, and that painting's been there, predates the show. And we're like, let's go find that pub. And luckily for us, it was really close to our hotel. So we ended up going to that pub. Wicked experience. We sat down drinking, like just throwing booze down our gullets. And I had my you know, dream come true. There was a guy sitting beside me wearing a high-vis worker's vest that was just had this fine film of construction dust all over it. And he had the big, thick New York accent, big, gruff voice, you know, the wiry brush facial hair. He looked tired, had that, you know, years of cement built up underneath his fingernail beds. And he was sitting there. See, he was sitting to my left, and Drew was to my right, and we were watching TVs, and the gorgeous waitress was also behind the bar. Ooh, she was something. And so I was flirting with her just shamelessly so, and to no avail, of course. But the guy beside me goes, yeah, hey, Shelly, give me another beer, huh? I'm like, oh. So I tapped on, Drew, listen. You gotta listen to this guy talk. You gotta listen. And I'm pointing at this guy, and the guy sees me pointing, and I was like, oh shit, hey, I'm really sorry, man, your accent is awesome. He's like, fuck you mean my accent? I was like, you got that like New York accent. He goes, where the fuck are you guys from? I was like, Canada. He's like, fucking Canada. The fuck you doing over here? I was like, oh man, just keep saying words. Just words. Just say anything. And so we got drunk with that guy. That was fun. But then later in the evening, as the hours progressed and melted into the later part of the night, we were now well lubricated, and there was these guys sitting beside Drew to Drew's right, and Drew taps me, and Drew's well lubricated at this point. I'm a little more of an experienced drinker at this stage. Drew's a working man. He's responsible when it comes to his consumption, whereas I am less conservative, shall we say, or was less conservative. And so Drew's like, hey, these guys beside me are talking about How I Met Your Mother. And I was like, what? He was, yeah, they're talking about the show. And I was like, oh, cool. And so I leaned over and I was like, hey, do you guys, hey. And they kind of look over. I was like, do you guys like How I Met Your Mother? Do you guys like that show? And they kind of just, they look at us for a second without saying anything. And the one guy's like, yeah, it's a good show. Do you guys like that show? I was like, dude, it's my favorite show. Are you kidding me? And Drew's like, yeah. And then I was like, we're from Canada. We came from Canada to this bar because of the show How I Met Your Mother. And the guy goes, oh, man, thank you. Thanks very much. And I was like, oh, shit, is this your bar? Do you own it? And he goes, oh, no. We wrote How I Met Your Mother. I'm Carter Bays. And this is Craig Thomas. And I'm like, what? I'll fucking be the judge of that. And I pulled out my phone and went to IMDb. Turns out we were sitting right next to Carter Bays and Craig Thomas getting drunk with the creators of How I Met Your Mother in the bar that the bar in the show was based off of. Holy Inception. This is amazing. So I'm like, no fucking way. And so we just proceeded to drink copious amounts of alcohol with these guys, and they took a shining to us. They loved us. They, you know, we were singing, quite literally singing in the bar. I was talking to Craig Thomas, and I was telling him about my woman issues, and he kind of based Ted off of his character, off of himself and his life experiences, and was telling me, you know, about his ups and downs in the world of romance, and was telling me that, you know, I'm a nice guy, don't worry, I'll get through things. And so they took a shining to us. They bought us beer all night, got liquor drunk, and we actually exchanged emails with them throughout the evening. And then one of their other buddies shows up, and he turned out to be a writer for the Jay Leno show, or the David Letterman show. Yeah, that's right, the David Letterman show. He was a writer for that show. And we're like, holy shit, man. This is New York. This is amazing. And this is what I'm talking about. Things like this happen to Drew. Things like this don't happen to me. This is literally because Drew is my rabbit's foot. And so that's why this went down. And so the night is progressing still later into the evening. And I realize all of a sudden, Drew's gone. And I haven't seen him in a bit. I don't know where he is. And so I'm kind of looking through squinted gaze. And I turned to Carter Bays and I go, excuse me, Carter, hey, sir, have you seen my buddy Drew? He goes, no, shit, not for a bit. And I was like, oh, no, did I lose him? Is he in a cab losing a kidney somewhere on the Lower East Side? And so then I turned to Craig Thomas. I was like, hey, Craig, buddy, hey, how are you? Yeah, no, I know, my girlfriend is terrible. Have you seen Drew anywhere? And he goes, no, last time I saw him, he was going to the bathroom. I was like, oh, when was that? He's like an hour ago. I was like, oh, fuck. So then I thought that maybe this was like an episode of Saw, and like he was stuck in a dungeon somewhere. So I went down to save him. So I descended the rickety old stairs into the bathroom, and I opened the door, and I'm shocked at first because there's no Drew. I don't see him anywhere. I'm like, oh, fuck. Now I started to get that panic feeling of where the fuck is my friend? It's New York City. This is our first day. How am I going to phone Rachel and say that I lost Drew? Right? Like, and I'm almost 30 at this point, and this is where my mind is going. So, but then out of the corner of my eye, I catch the sight of something rather odd. Something, it looked like a shoe at first, but it was actually a foot, a human foot, peeking out from underneath the closed door of a bathroom stall. And I knock on the door, and I peek in, and I see Drew sort of in a crumpled human mess. And he's like, hey, Drew, man, what's going on? Are you doing okay? So he opens the door, and he had, let's just say he exorcised some demons. Our night was done. It was time to go. And so I kind of help him upstairs, and I tell the guys that were leaving, and Drew's thanking them and shaking it, pulls himself together to shake their hands and, you know, have a good night. This is great. We go out onto the street, and I'm like, okay, well, we're too far to walk drunk, so let's get a cab. So I'm holding Drew. He's got his arm around me, and I hold my arm out for a cab. And the cab, fucking luckily, he pulls over and stops. And I'm like, awesome. So I open up the back door, and I go to get Drew inside, and then Drew stops me, and he just fucking vomits all over the sidewalk. And this cabbie squelches his tires and takes the fuck off. So now I'm stuck on the sidewalk with Drew puking. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't really know the way back to the hotel. I have some idea, but I don't really know. And I'm pretty toasted myself, but I've had some more practice at this point. My liver has endured some more punishment than Drew's has over the years leading to that point. And so luckily I get us back. I get us back to the hotel, and we were sharing a bed because unfortunately rooms got fucked up and we had only one king size bed, which whatever, who gives a shit, right? And so I grab some water. I'm getting Drew to drink some water. I'm laying in bed. I got the spins too, so I'm trying to drink water. And then because I'm drunk, I'm trying to text Ashley, which is just a dumb mistake. I shouldn't have done that, but I did. And, and I was excited. I wanted to phone and tell her that we just met the creators of the greatest show ever on earth. You know, basically our fucking heroes at this point. And, so I tried phoning. She didn't answer. Tried phoning again. She didn't answer. Drew and I still drinking water. Drew ends up needing to go to the bathroom again and puke. So I'm watching TV while he's doing his business. And then I realize it's been a bit. So I go, and Drew is now laying in the fetal position on the bathroom floor with his hand, like he's used his arm like a pillow. And I was like, hey, Drew, man, you got to come to bed, dude. I'll get you. He's like, no, I'm going to sleep here. It's fine. It's nice. I'm like, it's linoleum. It's not nice. And the bathroom isn't nearly big enough for a 6-foot man. So let's go. Come on. Amidst some protest, I was able to get him into the bed and rolled him on his side and used the spare pillows as a brace so that he couldn't roll onto his back. And I put the garbage can by him, which was utilized a few times throughout the night. Now, the thing about Drew, now I've said he's not as seasoned a drinker as I am, which is true. And I'm not saying that as a source of pride, just as a source of factual storytelling. But here's the thing that I fucking hate about Drew. Drew, if you're listening, fuck you, sir. So here's the thing. Drew was wasted. And I mean wasted. Like, painfully so. Like, sorority girl, pledge night, drunk. And I was my typical normal drunk, but I guess we'd been walking around for hours that day and drinking copious. Anyway, Drew suffered throughout the night, just suffered horribly. And I felt okay throughout the night. I was like, okay, I'm going to roll and go to sleep now. The morning comes. The sunlight beams in through the window. And it doesn't just caress me awake. It doesn't just say, hey, morning, buddy. It's nice and sunny out. No. It fucking Hogan leg drops me on the fucking head. And then a marching band of tiny little assholes inside the fucking cerebral cortex of my brain just start their fucking alcoholic parade. And my head is swollen and I am dying. It is the worst moment of my life up to that point. And I'm like, oh, jeez. And it feels like a cat shit in my mouth. Like, it's just the worst. It's so dry and awful. And I can barely move. My eyes are swollen and painfully sore. And Drew is no longer beside me. I'm like, oh, did he roll off the fucking bed? And I look over and no, he's not on the other side of the bed and the garbage can is gone. What the fuck? So I call out, hey, Drew. Drew. Nothing. Not a thing. So I force myself to get up from bed. I go over to the bathroom. He's not in there. I fucking lost Drew again. But only for a moment, because then the door opens and there's Drew holding two coffees. And he looks as fresh as a spring fucking chicken. He is not hungover. He is fine. His body has recovered. He's good to fucking go. I'm like, what the hell, man? Did you go get like an IV or something? And he's like, no, man, I just, yeah, you want to get going? It's nice out. And I'm like, could you not yell right now? That'd be sweet if you could just maybe mime out what you want to do for the day. Yeah, so I spent the greater part of that day just being really fucking hungover. And I eventually cured it by drinking more and, you know, drinking the hangover into a buzz, right? That's hair of the dog, I guess they call that. And so halfway through that day, Drew gets a text message via email, and it's from Carter Bays. And I was like, what the fuck? And he goes, yeah, I sent him an email last night thanking him for the night. He just sent this one back. And so they said, hey, great meeting you guys. Hope you have a great time in New York. Just to let you know, as per our conversation last night, we went ahead and booked you into a restaurant on Wednesday to go get some beef Wellingtons. And we're like, holy fuck. Because they had been telling us about this restaurant that they go to all the time. And they said, we got to try it out. And we're like, oh, yeah. But then they're like, yeah, there's a huge waiting list. So give me a second. And they emailed somebody and they got us in. And I'm like, what the fuck? So we're like, okay, that's badass. So we were on a Tuesday at this point when we got this email. It was a Tuesday and our reservation was for the Wednesday. So we, for the rest of that Tuesday, we were bombing around New York. We had New York Yankee tickets. But the Yankee ticket, actually, Yankee game was on Thursday, I believe. On the Tuesday, we were checking out Times Square. And again, Drew being Drew, the rabbit's foot of miraculous things, this guy comes up to us. And he's one of those, like, street seller, or appears to be anyway. And he goes, hey, do you guys like the David Letterman show? And we're like, ah, fuck, whatever, dude. Yeah, sure. And he goes, if you can answer this skill testing question, I'll give you two free tickets. And we're like, yeah, sure you will, pal. And the guy's like, what's the name of the band on the David Letterman show? And I think it was the Paul Brown Band. I think that's what it was. So I think Drew and I guessed it. And he gives us these two yellow slips of paper, right? They look really cheap, but it says David Letterman and tells us the address of the theater. And we're like, whatever, man. We're living on cloud nine right now. We just got an email from Carter Bays and Craig Thomas saying they made dinner reservations for us. So we don't give a shit. We're going to go try this out. So we walk up to the theater fully expecting to get laughed out of the fucking city. And so we're standing. The lineup is huge, by the way. It is snaking around the building for these people who are actually there to get tickets. So we join the back of the line and we're just waiting there. And this girl that was wearing the same jacket as the guy that gave us these, what we thought were fake tickets. She's wearing the same jacket as he was. She comes down the line. She goes, oh, hey, you guys have yellow tickets. And we're like, yeah, we saw a guy down in Times Square. We guessed. She's like, you guys have accents. Where are you from? We're like, Canada. She's like, oh, awesome. Well, anyway, come with me. And we're like, okay. So she took us from the back of the line to the front inside and handed us two laminated official looking David Letterman tickets for 2 p.m. And we're like, what? This is real? She goes, yeah, it's free. Yeah, it's totally real. We're like, no fucking way. And we don't even know who's on David Letterman today. We don't even know what's going on. But anyway, we go back and go for a quick bite to eat because we had some time before 2. We go back and we're standing in line again. And that same girl goes, no, you have tickets. Come with me. Get up. Like, you don't have to wait in line. We're like, what the fuck? So we get in. And guess who's on that show? Guess who's on the David Letterman show that day? Fucking Tom Hanks. No word of a lie. Tom Hanks is on the David Letterman show that day. I am blown the fuck away at this point. Our seats were about midway up. So like from the front of touching kind of the stage where David Letterman is, we were four chairs back from that. It insane. Such a cool experience. So we went to David Letterman, watched Tom Hanks, and then they had like a Cirque du Soleil performer on there as well. And there was somebody else, and I can't remember, but what a great time. And so we were, again, off living on cloud nine, went out drinking, had a great time, and decided to take the subway down to Wall Street, see what kind of pubs were down that way. So we're on the subway, and there's these two girls sitting on the subway too, and I'm drunk, and I have drunk courage, so I just say hi. I'm like, hey. And we strike up a conversation with them. And, one girl, she's like, again, stereotypical sort of New York. She's, snapping her gum and talking. And she's like, where are you guys from? And we're like, oh, Canada. She's like, oh, that's awesome. You're from Canada. That's great. Cheryl, they're from Canada. And she's like, yeah, no, Shirley, I heard them. Yeah, they're from Canada. That's great. That's great. What do you guys do? I was like, oh, I'm a paramedic. She's like, no, get the fuck out of here. You're a paramedic. You save lives and shit. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I go that far. I've picked up a couple hobos here and there, but, I don't know. Lots of old people. She, no, that's fucking amazing. What a great job you... My sister-in-law is a nurse. Hey, Shelly, tell him Sherry's a nurse. Tell him. And she's like, oh, he can hear you. He's sitting right there. I'm like, oh, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. And but they had to get off before we did, and I didn't want to get off at their stop because we were using our phones to navigate around the city. And I'm not going to lie, as a first-time tourist to New York City, I tried to be as careful as possible because, well, it's New York City, right? I don't know if I'm going to get mugged or killed or stabbed or raped or all of them at the same time. I don't know, which never happened, by the way. New York is it's actually a really safe city. Sorry, I'm just drinking some tea. So anyway, yeah. We part ways with those girls, go down to Wall Street, check out Wall Street. Really cool time. But first, we couldn't find Wall Street, like the actual Wall Street. And we see this cop kind of leaning up against his car. And I was like, hey, man, how are you? He goes, yeah, good. I was like, oh, awesome. Hey, do you know where Wall Street is? And he goes, yeah, I do. Cool. Hey, could you tell us where Wall Street is? Yeah, I could do that for you. If you look down and you see the road you're standing on right now, congratulations, you found Wall Street. Fuck, really? So then literally all we had to do was go like 4 feet around the police officer and we would have seen the bull. You know, that bull, the bull of Wall Street. Yeah, so that was embarrassing. That's why guys don't ask for directions. That's the moral of that story. Great time. A great, great trip overall. That Wednesday came around. We went to that restaurant and it was the best food I've had. We had steak. We had fucking scotch. We didn't bring any fancy clothes for this thing. So I wore like a button up shirt and like khakis, and Drew had to go buy a button up shirt, and we're like, oh man! And literally, we show up to the restaurant. We must have looked like fucking orphans. We walk inside and like everyone's wearing this 3-piece black suits and like beautiful flowing satin gowns and like or tight fitted silk dresses, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know women like you actually existed, but wow, do you ever. And they worked there. That's the kind of place this was. And so this lady, she's like, can I help you guys? And we're like, yeah, we got a reservation. It should be under Matt or Drew. And she's like, Matt or Drew? And I'm like, yeah. So she begrudgingly starts typing on the computer, and then she goes, oh, yes, right this way, please. So not only do we just not sit in the general seating, no. We get walked upstairs to the balcony on the far side, and we had our own private section, me and Drew, and we had three waiters. One was like a drink person, one was our main meal person, the other was like a dessert slash kind of go between the drink guy and three people for us. So we ordered steak and we got some scotch, and we said, you know, we have to kind of budget for this because it's going to be crazy expensive. And that was a little out of our wheelhouse. We didn't plan on, because like the whole time we're like, we're just going to eat, you know, shit food, right? We'll eat like street meat and pizza and bagels. Like, we're good. So we didn't really plan to go and have a really fancy meal and scotch and whatever. And we had the beef Wellington. And by the way, the beef Wellingtons are out of this fucking world. And so we sat there and we ate, and then we finished eating. We're waiting for the waiter to come bring the bill over to us, and we're like, oh, shit. I was like, well, I have a bunch of cash on me, so I'll just pay cash, and then you can just, you know, buy some drinks later kind of deal. And so the waiter comes over. He's like, is there anything else we can get for you? And I was like, yeah, just the bill, please, if you don't mind. He goes, oh, no, there's no bill. Everything's been taken care of. When you're ready, Mr. Bays said that he would like us to call you a cab, and it will take you to McSorley's Irish Pub, which is the oldest pub in New York City. And I was like, wait, what? He goes, yes, he says to say enjoy your stay. They apologize. They were unable to make it out this evening, and they would like you to enjoy this other pub. We're like, wow. So they called us a cab. We get in the cab. We go to this pub. Wicked pub, by the way. It's the, when you go inside, there's no music playing. It's just people talking, and the floorboards are all, like, it's the oldest pub in New York City. That says something. And above the bar, there's this old dusty chandelier with a bunch of actual chicken wishbones on it. And it's just adorned with them, like festooned with chicken bones. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on with those chicken bones? That is revolting. And the bartender goes, oh, before the soldiers left from the harbor during World War II, before they went over, they had a chicken dinner together. And they all made this deal that when they returned, they, like, whoever came back alive, they would split the wishbones and they would make wishes for a better life, a peaceful life going forward. And the reason there was so many wishbones there was because none of them returned. And that was, you know, that was really powerful. I was like, man, this is my favorite pub in the world. To this day remains my most favorite pub. And there's only two types of beer there, dark or light, and it's a house beer. And you have to order two at a time. So you're like, I'll take two. And they're two little mugs of beer. And I took two light, Drew took two dark. And what a wicked time. So we tied one on there too, sitting beside strangers, conversing with strangers. Tied one on there too, and then walked around. It was pretty close to Madison Square Garden, if memory serves me correctly. Go easy on me. I was a little foggy. And so just a great trip overall. We went to the following day before the Yankee game. We went to Ground Zero and checked that out. And that is a place of absolute beauty and sorrow. It is a beautiful monument. It is a testament to the love that New Yorkers have for one another. And it's a hauntingly powerful place. And I got really emotional. I started thinking about Colin, and I started thinking about Starker and Boomer, and it was tough. It all hit me at once. I mean, September 11th played a pretty pivotal role in Canadians' history, and you know, it was the catalyst of when I joined the Army. I got my recruiting package on September 11th, which was ironic. It was something. So I had a bit of a cry there at Ground Zero, and we walked around and checked out some of the names and paid our respects. And then, you know, we went to the Yankee game up in the Bronx, and what a wicked time that was. We bought some scalped or some fake New York Yankees hats from this little kid selling them for $5. So that was fun too. Yeah. And then, you know, our trip was winding down to an end, and I'd been in and on and off contact with Nosferatu at this point. And so it was about 2 days before, or no, it was a day before. Yeah. So we had one more full day and then it was time to go. And I got a call from her saying, I'm coming to see you. I'm like, what? And she's, I'm coming to New York. I'm coming to see you. I was like, no, you've got to be kidding me. She goes, "Yeah, I'm coming to see you. I bought a ticket. I'm coming to see you." And you, like, you don't really have a say. "We're going to stay for a couple of days." I'm like, "Oh, but what the heck?" And so I was like, "When do you fly in?" And she, it was the day that I was supposed to fly out. She was flying in, but she had to, she was flying in early. And so that meant I had to say goodbye to Drew early and leave him alone in the city for X number of hours before his flight, which I felt like a dick. But I felt like if I didn't go and meet her at the airport, I felt like, even though she wasn't fucking invited, this was strictly a bro trip. And this was literally just a way for her to just, you know, invade her way back into my life. Because I think she knew the more distance and time I had away from her, especially with a good friend to talk to and talk about these issues. And I knew I had to break up with her. I knew that. And I think she was afraid that I would have gotten to that conclusion a lot sooner and maybe a lot more vehemently stuck to it had she not come. And she's, maybe she's right. I don't know. I did stay with her after that because I'm a fucking idiot. But so she came to New York. I left Drew alone. And he actually ended up meeting Jason Bateman and Michael Cera. so I missed that. And I met her at the airport and took her back in. We got a different hotel and stayed for about 4 or 5 more days. And it was the worst 5 days outside of, like, Drew, great time, amazing time. With her, awful. All we do is fight, argue. And the only good thing that happened out of it, the only good thing that happened out of her being there was we were in Times Square. We're actually arguing. We're having a fight about how she's unfaithful and this, it's not fair for her to have just come on this trip. She knew that I wanted time alone. She doesn't respect me, blah, 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 blah. But I saw an ambulance parked in Times Square. And my goal when I was in New York, I wanted to give a patch. I had my paramedic patch because I was still working as a medic at the time. I wanted to give a patch to a paramedic in New York. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck you. And I walked away from her and I walked up to this ambulance and there's a guy inside in the driver's seat. And I go, "Hey, man, how are you?" I introduce myself. He's got the kind of Brooklyn accent to a little bit or the New York accent a bit. You know, he's got a little bit of a twang to him. And I'm like, "Oh, this is awesome." So I introduced myself, we start talking, and I was like, "Hey man, listen, I just want to give you this patch. You know, I love paramedics. I love being a paramedic." And so we exchanged emails and stuff like that. And to this day, and his name is George, or is George, and to this day, we are really good friends. We talk all the time. He's actually one of my closest friends, and I love him like a brother. I really do. So the trip, that was the brightest part of being with Ashley on that trip. But we were fighting right up to the point where I met this paramedic. And he would actually help me through a lot of really tough times upon going back home. I started telling him about kind of the issues with Ash and with Nosferatu and things like that. And, you know, he'd help me through. And eventually the day came where I left the relationship. But New York, what a time. What a time. I mean, it's kind of a trip of a lifetime, you know, just meeting my fucking heroes. I love the show How I Met Your Mother. I could watch that show from beginning to end, from season one to the final season, back to back right now. That's how much I love the show. It's an amazing show. I think it's beautifully written, cleverly written. And the best part was I stayed in contact with these guys, still have their email. And I've actually sent them blog posts before, and I've actually, you know, Carter Bays said, "Good work," right? Or "Great work," exclamation point. You know, I was a little hesitant to send it to him because I didn't want him to think that I was trying to, like, get into the writing career kind of thing. I was just literally being like, "Hey, I want to send this to you." so I was a little hesitant to send it, but I got a nice compliment from it a while back, like a long, long time ago. It was back when I was in Edmonton. What a wicked time. And then, like, conversing with them via email, kind of a surreal feeling. It was like my fanboy moment. To be able to experience that with my best friend, Drew, it doesn't get much better than that, folks. But anyway, that was my trip to New York back in either 2011 or 12. It's great time. Awesome time. And like I said, I mean it. If you ever get a chance to travel with Drew, do it, because you're guaranteed to have an amazing time. I will eventually get Drew on this podcast to get him to talk to you about his trip that he just went on solo. He went to like 5 or 6 different countries in the span of, I think, 2.5 weeks. This guy is a veteran traveler, and he has, you know, just balls of steel to do some of the stuff that he did. And I will get him on here. We will talk about that. But in the meantime, I'm going to bid you guys a good day. I hope you guys are staying warm out there. I want to thank you guys for always supporting me and sending me such kind messages in my emails and things like that. It means so very much to me. I love you guys for it. Thank you so very much. I really do appreciate it. And to those who come out to support the Brainstorm Revolution at the book signings and things like that, thank you. That's an amazing thing to be a part of. So humbling for me. And it's so great that you guys are really supportive of it. That's awesome. And with that, I bid you guys a good day. Like I said before, be safe out there. Be warm. It is cold, winter, and blustery outside. But above all, guys, keep talking to each other.